Amen.
Thank you, brother. If you would like to, I'm going to turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 4. As Brother Greg's prayed for the service, I ask you keep praying. I have never studied or read or discussed or heard mentioned, heard anybody preach about this chapter until about this time yesterday. About this time yesterday, I was there in my office, and I opened up this by random or happenstance or by providence. I started reading this, and I was very, very intrigued by the things that are mentioned in Ezekiel 4. Now, I have heard of some things, but it wasn't in a preaching way in regard to this chapter. You'll know when we get to it, if we get that far, the Lord would bless. But let me just say this. This is probably the most uncomfortable chapter that I have ever studied. It is discomforting. It is unnerving. Bad things are being discussed. It's an assault on your senses. There's things that sound bad, that look bad, that feel bad, taste bad, smell bad. It's all kinds of bad going on. This is going to be a bad sermon because it's about bad things. Brother Dave said it. He's preaching this is a bad sermon. I didn't want to preach on it. I couldn't think of everything else that my mind was gone after I spent all afternoon on this. And I think it was for my benefit that I studied it. I don't want anybody here to think, oh, he's trying to tell Bethel Church something. No, that's not for me. That'd be for your pastor. It'd be for the Lord especially. But I read this and applied it to myself. And if I know the shoe fits. It's also interesting in the study of it. It's interesting in the presentation of it and in the things that are shown in Ezekiel 4. So we begin in the first verse. God is speaking to the prophet, and he says, "Thou also, son of man, take thee a tile and lay it before thee and portray upon it the city, even Jerusalem, and lay siege against it, and build a fort against it, and cast a mount against it, set the camp also against it, set battering rams against it round about. Moreover, take thou unto thee an iron pan, and set it for a wall of iron between thee and the city, and set thy face against it, and it shall be besieged. And thou shalt lay siege against it. This shall be a sign to the house of Israel." This sounds bad and it looks bad. Back when I was a child, growing up in the 1960s, we had watched a lot of movies with my dad, who had served in Korea, and he liked to watch war movies, usually World War II movies. Liked to watch them and watched a lot of them. And that always got us, you know, ready. Me and my brothers and the neighbor kids would go out and we'd play Army. We'd play Army for hours. We'd go out to the pasture and we'd build forts. We'd dig foxholes. We had tunnels, everything. We got elaborate. And it was always us against the Germans. And we always won. We beat them every single time. We were outnumbered and we beat them. They had us down for the count. We got up and we beat them. We always won. We even had toy soldiers, plastic soldiers. We'd make the whole room a battlefield. We'd have a fort of pillars, and we'd wad up a sock and we'd throw it at them, and that was a bomb, and all the soldiers would scatter. Man, you know, their bombs missed us, but man, we knocked them out. We felt good. We were Rambo. We were, you know what I'm saying? That's what we did. We won. Well, in this chapter, the verses we just read, God says, all right, Ezekiel, I want you to build a fort. I want you to get a ceramic tile. I want you to draw a picture of Jerusalem on that tile, and I'm going to lay it down on the ground. And that's Jerusalem. And then I want you to put all these soldiers around you. That's the enemy. I want the cavalry coming at them with their horses. Battering rounds all over the city. That city is under attack. Your city is under attack by the enemy. Then I want you to get an iron skillet. I want you to set that in the ground. And then I want you to put your face against Jerusalem. Because what we're doing is actually going to happen. This is going to happen. Jerusalem's going to be attacked. It's going to be besieged. And they are going to conquer Jerusalem. That's going to happen. That don't sound good. I don't like that. That's tough. He had to do this. God told him to do it. God said, this is my will. You may be the prophet, but I'm God. I'm telling you, this is going to happen. This is the future. This is the future of your beloved city. That's hard, isn't it? And then he tells them, I want you to do something that feels bad. Notice this, in verse 4. Lie thou also upon thy left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it according to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon it, thou shalt bear their iniquity. For I've laid upon thee the years of their iniquity according to the number of the days, 390 days, so shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. 40 days I have appointed thee each day for a year. Now hold on just a minute. I look at a night's sleep from a scientific perspective. I diagnosed my night's sleep. Every night I work. I got a plan worked out. This is what we're going to do. And we're going to do it just this way. Did it last night at the coach house. It worked great for me. It didn't work so good for Leslie, but it worked fantastic for me. Because let me tell you this. I've got what's called a going to sleep side. And then I got what's called the sleep/snoring side. I only snore on that side. But that's the only side that I can sleep on. Now, I've studied this out. Works great. Ezekiel was told, you're going to lie down on your side and you can't move to the other side. You can't move for 390 days. Y'all like that? That sound good? Something you could do? But it's God telling you to do it. This goes against every fiber of my scientific study on how Brother Dave gets a good night's sleep. This goes against everything. No, Lord, no. I've got to start over here. And then I switch. And then I go back and forth and all that. And I wrestle the bed. I wrestle with the world. I wrestle the devil all night long. And I got up one day this last week. I got up, usually get up about 5:30 a.m., by the way, just in case you're wondering. Get up at 5:30 a.m. Get up. I'm up there making coffee. And poor sweet Leslie, she's dragging in. And she said, "How you doing?" I said, "Fine. Man, I slept great last night." She goes, "Well, I don't know why. You are thrashing around. I had to sleep in the guest room." I'm like, "Really? I slept great. So you need to get over that." I wasn't there. It wasn't me. No. I was, she don't lie. I was thrashing around. I was fighting. Because I fight things. I fight problems. I fight, situations. I get up and everything's fine. Everything's taken care of because I fought them all. It's just like playing army. I'll beat them. I'm going to win every time. I don't get up until I've beaten them all. That's the way I am. I couldn't do that. I couldn't do what God's telling Ezekiel to do. You can only lay on your left side. Oh, I couldn't do it for one night. He says, you got to do it for 300. What did he say? 390 days. And then you can flip over, and then you're going to stay on that side for 40 days. He said, because here's what's going to happen. You study Israel out, and what we call the Babylonian conquest. Nebuchadnezzar came, and he besieged the city for 390 days. Conquered it. He left people there. Went back to Babylon. Those people that he left, they rebelled. They thought, well, he's gone. They declared their independence. They rebelled. He came back, and this time he wiped them out. Lord says, I'm going to make you uncomfortable. I'm going to make you feel bad. You know, my friends, there's a scripture that says, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. Bad things happen when you're at ease. I was perfectly fine growing up in the old Baptist church. I was all right. I wasn't bothering anybody. I was minding my own business. I was sitting back, in the back, doing all right. And then I got bothered. I got uncomfortable. You know why? Because the Lord was afflicting me. Right. And put what we call a burden. It was a burden. And I knew I had to join. I had to join the church. I was fine not being a member. Wasn't going to. Then he opened my mind and my heart to the church. And I could not enjoy church anymore. Isn't that something? I wanted to join it, but I couldn't enjoy it. And I couldn't enjoy it until I did my duty. When I joined the church, then I can enjoy it again. And I enjoyed it more than I could ever imagine. And then I was fine. I was at ease. I wasn't bothering anybody. I joined the church. I'm fine. I've done what I needed to do. Then I felt a burden to preach the gospel. Oh, Lord, you can't be serious. Not me. I'm the last person I would ever think would be called to preach. I couldn't enjoy church anymore. I had a burn. I was uncomfortable. I finally agreed. You think about the. I've heard this. That mother eagle will take the feathers, the down out of the nest. It makes it uncomfortable for those fledglings. And they began to be poked and prodded by the sticks in the nest. And then we got to leave. We got to get out and fly. Because if she doesn't do that, they'll be content to stay all their life and they won't make it. Now, sometimes, my friends, and church, we're not content, but it may be of God that we're not content. And it may not be the church's fault. It may not be any person's fault. It's God afflicting you to show you you need to do something. There's a role that you need to play. There's a calling that I've given you. You need to do more. This is my house. Sometimes that happens to us. You think about the church at Laodicea. They were lukewarm. They said, we're increased with goods. And then they said, we have need of nothing. Oh dear. Uh-oh. That's famous last words, y'all. That's the last thing. We should never think that way. We need everything. Oh, there's so much that we stand in need of. But Laodicea said, we don't need a thing. God says, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. I'd rather you be hot or cold, right? Well, why does he want us to be cold? Same reason he wants us to be hot. Oh, really? Yeah. You know why? Because when you're too hot or too cold, you make steps to take care of it. You rise up. Yeah. You ever gone into a house? You ever gone into a house and said, you know, the temperature is perfect. I mean, it feels so average here, it's beautiful. You ever think about that? No, I mean, if it's hot, you're going to do something. It's cold, you're going to do something. You start a song at church. You think, man, that song is just, I never think about, well, they pitched that right. But somebody pitches it too high, too low. Oh, we need to fix this. We need to do something about that. You ever say, I think we've got the average amount of Holy Ghost in our service? I wouldn't say that if I were you. Sometimes you say, man, I felt the Spirit so strong. Or you say, we just weren't blessed. One hand, you're thankful. The other hand, well, we're going to do something about it. The Lord sometimes discomfits. That's the first time I ever used that word in a sentence. Makes us uncomfortable to goad us into doing our reasonable service. The Lord said unto Paul on the road to Damascus, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. I'm sticking the brought into your brother and you're rebelling. I'm trying to get you somewhere. I'm showing you something. That's good that the Lord would show us things, reveal his will, that we could learn more about him. And so in this case, we've had sounds bad, looks bad, feels bad. Now, here's the next one. I read this in verse 9. Take thou also unto thee wheat and barley and beans and lentils and millet and fitches, and put them in one vessel. Make thee bread thereof according to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon thy side. 390 days shalt thou eat thereof. You know that verse is famous. You know why that verse is famous? Some of y'all know why this verse is famous. I know. I'll tell you. This is the recipe for what they call Ezekiel bread. Really? Really? That's a thing? That's a thing. It's out there. You can go to HEB and buy it. Ezekiel bread. That's what it's called. You know why they call it that? Because it's got everything in this verse. Fitches, that's sprouted wheat. Everything in this verse that God said, you can buy it. You can go to HEB. You can buy it online. I've got it. It's in my house right now. It's the only bread I like. You see, I'm real picky about bread. Sister Bev said, I wonder how you thought about that bread. It was real good. Delicious. You did just right. Of course you did. Now, I'm talking about like a sandwich. All right. What kind of bread are we going to put in Brother Bruce's 10,000 toasters? What kind of bread? What would be the best bread? I love those toasters, by the way. Y'all crazy. Those toasters are great. Remember me in your will. Don't give anything to Sarah or Reed. Give them to me. I'll take them. At any rate. All right. Fact, Brother Bruce gave us a toaster. I use it all the time. He gave us a sandwich press. Best thing ever invented, ever. Use it at least 5 times a week. But what kind of bread? What kind of bread, Brother Dave? What kind of bread are you going to put in those toasters or that press? Ezekiel bread. See, my friends, I didn't like bread growing up. My mother, bless her heart, she'd get Mrs. Baird's white bread. Can't stand it. It's like foam rubber. It's tasteless. I don't like doughy things. I like crispy. I like a crunch, too. I like substance. So I get the coarsest bread that I could find. Whole wheat. I want that thing to be growing a field right before my eyes. And I like, you know, and when Leslie and I got married, I was telling her about this. Now, you know, I don't get your feelings hurt, but you may make biscuits. Chances are I'm going to throw away 80% of that biscuit. I'm going to take the middle out. I take the middle out and throw it away. I just want the tops. Just don't get your feelings hurt. She said, have you ever tried Ezekiel bread? You know, radar. What? It's the best bread you'll ever have. Now, you may not like it because it is crunchy. It's got beans, lentils, stuff in it. That's why I like it. Now, people get excited about this. A lot of folks get excited. I think this is the only recipe in the Bible. This is a recipe, and it's in the Word of God. It's an inspired recipe by God to His prophet. Make this bread. Eat this bread. Well, the time that you're on your side, that's all you're going to eat is this bread that I'm making, that I'm telling you to make. Now, when I read this, I started hooping and hollering. Told Leslie, I said, I found it. I found the recipe. It's right there. It really is. It's in there. And then I started reading further, and I realized, no. We're not really eating Ezekiel bread. Brother Tom's right ahead. He knows where I'm going. It's not Ezekiel. We're not doing it right. We're not doing it right. That what you get at HEB, it's not done right. And I'm so glad it's not. Yeah, okay? Because we're going to read it. All right? If you're squeamish, cover your ears. This is not for the squeamish. Abby, cover your ears. I don't want you to get offended at me now. She's in there laughing at me. I don't want her to get all offended at me now. All right, so, but I'm going to read it. This is God speaking, not Brother Dave. Cover yours, Abby. All right, here we go. All right. He said, all right, here's what you want to do. Verse 10. And thy meat which thou shalt eat shall be by weight 20 shekels a day. From time to time shalt thou eat it. Thou shalt also drink water by measure. The sixth part of a hin from time to time shalt thou drink. Here we go. And thou shalt eat it as barley cakes. And thou shalt bake it with dung that cometh out of a man in their sight. Whoa. Oh, no. No! 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 Don't ask me to read that one again. What? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Make the spread. Sounds good. But I'll cover your ears, Abby. Here we go again. You see, my friends, back, you know, you go out, you study. You know, the Arabians back out there in the Middle East, back in the day when they were nomadic, they were going through the desert from place to place. They're in a place where there are no trees. They would make fire. They'd make a fire out of the manure that came out of the camels. That's what they did there. It was a matter of survival. Well, what God told Ezekiel is like, I want you to do it this way. This is the way to do it. That's tough. Is that how bad things are in Israel? This is against God's own law. But this is also God's commandment. God is calling attention to the state that the Jews had come to. Oh, Father, let not the old Baptist reach that state. You know, we sang that song, Savior, visit thy plantation. I thought about that as we sang it. Keep no longer at a distance. But it says we're in a sad decline. Things aren't the way they used to be. Where's the spirit? Where's the meetings? Where are those meetings that we remember? Is it us? Is it our fault? Is it the church's fault? We need to ask that question sometimes. We need to beseech the Lord. We need to pray to God. We need to ask the Lord to send laborers into his harvest. We need to also, Lord, what can I do? What will thou have me to do? Is there something that I'm not doing that I need to do? Is there something that I'm doing that I shouldn't do? I don't want this bread here. All of a sudden, I don't want it. No, I don't want that bread. I want the bread of life. This is the bread of sorrows. This is what you ate when you had nothing else. When you're in a famine, or when you're traveling and there's nothing else to, and you put this together and you cook it that way, that's all you could do to survive. I remember when those angels came to Abraham, he went to Sarah and said, I want you to make cakes of fine flour. You cook it on the hearth here. You make it refined that it would look good, taste good. That it would be presentable to the Lord. That we can make our bodies a holy and acceptable sacrifice. I still like Ezekiel bread, don't get me wrong. I'm still going to buy it. As long as they don't cook it the way he's doing it right here, then we're fine. Now, oh, my friends, there are times, and there have been times in my life, that the Lord has just shaken me, slapped me in the face, knocked me down, and said, you better straighten up. You better make steps to where you ought to be, or you're going to lose what you've got. You're in danger of losing it. Now we're not in danger of going to hell. Oh, but we could be in danger of hell on earth. Oh, I don't want that. And sometimes the Lord, I just see, there's a time in my life I thought it was over. I really did. I thought it was over for me. And the Lord had mercy. Now, when Ezekiel heard what God said, he was fine. He was fine with him. All right, I'll build a fort. We'll play army. My people will lose. Lord, I'll lay on my side all this time, like you said. I'll switch over and lay it up for that time. All right, I'll make this bread. But wait, Lord, no, not that last part. Not that. I can't do that. All right, let's look at it for a minute. Let's look at it. Verse 14. Then said I, "Ah, Lord God, behold, my soul hath not been polluted, for from my youth even till now have I not eaten of that which dieth of itself or is torn in pieces, neither came there abominable flesh in my mouth." Lord, no, not that. Lord gave him a pass. Then he said unto me, "Lo, I've given thee cow's dung for man's dung, and thou shalt prepare thy bread therewith." Well, got a little bit of a pass. Moreover, he said unto me, "Son of man, behold, I will break the staff of bread in Jerusalem, and they shall eat bread by weight and with care. They shall drink water by measure and with astonishment, that they may want bread and water and be astonished one with another and consume away for their iniquity." You know, it's the point is this. I want them to repent. I want them back where they belong. I want them in a place where I will bless them with good things. Well, I will rain down from heaven. Well, they'll eat manna again. They won't have to eat this anymore. That they'll have abundance. And that they will defeat their enemies like they did in the old days. That they will feel good, that their soul is content and happy. No, let's don't be at ease in Zion, my friends. Let's be ready for whatever we need to do, and let's be ready for the Lord to pour out a blessing upon us and beg God that He would. Things don't have to be like this. They don't have to go awry. They don't have to be in this situation. Now read over here in the book of Proverbs. In the book of Proverbs. Verse 7. "The full soul loatheth a honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet." Even Ezekiel bread. My friends, are we eating the bread of sorrows? If all you get is just a little bit. You know, I remember, I thought about this last night when we were talking. My family lived in Utah for 2 years, and we could not go to church like we wanted. And you know, when I really, really, really started looking toward the Old Baptist is when I didn't have the Old Baptist. It's in Utah. And during the winter, we couldn't go. We couldn't go to church. We had church at home. And I remember when we came back to Texas, we came back down here. I think this was one of the first churches we went to. We went to every meeting. Ever within driving distance, we went to those. I remember I was 12 years old, had not joined the church yet, but I remember, and I had forgotten this, that I'm so glad to be back home, and I'm so glad to be amongst the Lord's people. I didn't know that I would miss it. I didn't know that I was missing it until I got it back. But I missed it. And the point is, those preachers could have gotten up and just said anything. And have been, oh, it's glorious. You know, they could have preached on Mary Had a Little Lamb. I would have found, well, Mary did have a little lamb. Amen. Hey, that's her. That's that's a great, what a great point. Yeah. Fleece was white as, amen. Amen. Everywhere that Mary went, I'm with you. I'll follow him. Can I go? Can I go to school with you, Mary, with that little lamb? Sure enough, I'll follow that lamb. That's what I want. That was good. They could have sang a song and as low as molasses in winter, and low down into the basement, and it's beautiful. Oh, that's glorious. Song that I may have heard 500,000 times. Heard it all. Oh, been waiting for this. It's music. When you're hungry, anything tastes good. You'll eat anything. You'll eat things you don't think you'll ever eat. You know, you may not like vegetables. If you're starving to death, they put it down, you'll come running. You may not like broccoli or asparagus. You may not like lima beans. I hate lima beans. Don't ever do that to me. Can't stand them. Don't want them at all. Or hominy. Oh no. Don't do that. No, that's they need to apologize to that corn for what they did to it. It's murder to an innocent piece of corn. And then you see these primitive Baptists just eating like, oh, it's so good, Brother Dave. Give me a, no, come here, get out of here. But if I'm starving, give me that hominy. It tastes like a T-bone steak. Give me the lima beans. Give me that broccoli. Oh, as cold waters to a thirsty soul. You've been out in the hot sun. That, there's only one thing you want is water. Yeah. And it is, you know, water actually tastes sweet when you're thirsty. Well, you know, the thing that I'm trying to learn and teaching myself is, I don't want to have to wait to get to that point to try to get back. So I'm working on, let's appreciate it while it's there to be appreciated. And let's rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Don't wait till it's taken away to miss it. And whatever the Lord has brought to you in your life in regard to the church or the gospel, your place in the church, your position, whatever is of the Lord, then be grateful for that. And don't seek anything else until the Lord bids you to move on. Amen. And if he's made you uncomfortable, then you need to find out why and what you need to do about it. Because you don't want to get to that. I don't want to get to Ezekiel chapter 4. Unless it's Ezekiel bread made in a brick oven. Other than that, I don't want it. But I do want the bread of life. I do want the living water. I do want to lay on Jesus' breast and breathe my life out sweetly there. I do want to be where the Lord would have me to be. And I do want to give him all the glory that I possibly can, because without the Lord, it would be worse than we can ever imagine. Which means to say this, it's better than we think. You think it's good now. It's better than you think it is. It's better than I think it is. And so may the Lord continue to bless us. May the Lord forgive us and just keep pouring out a blessing upon us, and that we would be refreshed and be ready to, when it's time, when they say, let us go to the house of the Lord, that I'm glad. And I'm going with you. Thank y'all very much. This like I said, I never looked at that until yesterday. Hope it was all right. Hope the Lord was honored. Hope you were blessed. We'll sing a hymn. Unless you got something you'd like to add, Brother Sonny?
No, sir.
If you do, I want to hear it.
Can't add anything to that.
Okay, well, if you did, I want to hear it. All right, we'll stand and sing a hymn. If anyone would like to come forward and take up the cross and follow the Lord Jesus, please do so. Amen.